welcome back to another Bad Movies Rule mailbag.
Mailbag.
And it's time to go through some mail. Now, I want to, before we get into any of this stuff, I just want to speak to the elephant in the room. There's been a lot of controversy so far around Kurt being put in pun jail, and you can hear his voice. He's here right now for the mailbag.
Say hi. I'm here.
All Hello. Right, here's Kurt. Kurt, we let him come back for Last Stand at the kids table, on a probationary basis.
And you pretty much told me to keep my mouth shut, and I colored coloring books and tried to figure out the Rubik's Cube.
And you made it through almost the entire episode.
I tried really hard.
Right? Until we got to the race through the corn at the end, and you had to go and make a pun about it being a corny scene.
I know.
Jeez.
So his sentence has been extended via the mayor here.
Yes, extended. I did unlock the door in the wall.
He did his due diligence. Is that the right word?
Yeah. But I'm letting him be on this mailbag again. Trial run. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, he can get back on to the main episodes. I know you guys love him and miss him. Some of your mail today even is about that.
There was people that were really supporting my pun.
They were upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like four people total out of all the listeners.
Yeah. How many people are on the internet?
Yeah.
It was like four people, right?
Well, there's however many listeners we have.
Yeah.
And then a very small percentage that will actually comment on things, right? So that's even a lower percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And then even fewer percentage of that were supportive. So really, almost no one.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
We'll get to that. When we get to the email, I'll present my case. I know some of you think I'm being harsh, right, about the puns. People love it.
Well, it's my shtick. It's a gimmick.
It's a thick shtick.
I mean, you guys, it's pretty thick. I lay it on sometimes.
So,
I just feel like, on all the episodes, we've always got something. I mean, whether it's, the Arnold thing or, you've got your Arnold thing and I've got my puns.
All kinds of things that are funny and then your puns. You're right.
Right.
So, how about we dive into this mail we got here?
Let's do that.
And then that's going to be much more enjoyable for people.
Sure.
And we'll go through it one by one, okay?
I am Groot.
And Clint,
what
were you on the last mailbag?
I don't
remember.
I don't think I was.
It all blurs together. There was an email that came through from a guy that is a knife forger.
Oh, yeah.
In Australia.
I was definitely not there because that would have been awesome.
I think 2x Forge was the name of his company.
Yes.
And the whole first half of his email was very confusing because he was talking about a movie that we had not reviewed. And then, but a lot of it referenced Bob and other things. I'm like, he's clearly emailing the right people.
Yeah.
Well, he followed up. Here's what he had to say. Ladies and gentlemen, and Bob.
His own subcategory. Right?
So, guess who is a little bit silly? Upon listening to the mailbag and realizing I am a complete and utter flog sock, there was another movie podcast. Sorry, I was cheating on you guys.
How dare you?
I know. There's only 4,000 other movie podcasts out there.
We are okay with you listening to other stuff. Otherwise, how else would you know how awesome we are?
That's right.
If you didn't listen to other stuff.
You're worried about punishing me and putting me in jail.
You were probably what drove him to go listen to other podcasts.
Oh, that's what he did. After the 47th pun in Condor Man, he said, That's it.
I'm out of here.
Peace.
He said this other movie podcast, which he didn't name, reviewed Only the Strong, starring Mark Dacascos. But I just assumed it was you, handsome bastards. So,
buttering us up now.
Yeah, see, look now he feels bad.
Coming right back. Is that how I got to get back in? So I just got to butter everybody up?
He's like, I don't think that's how that works. So, darling, I was cheating on you. And
you're beautiful.
But you're a handsome bastard.
You're a handsome bastard.
Tell you what, you send a couple cases of Foster's to
the mayor.
Our P.O. box. And
so we're cool now, right?
Yeah.
You want some Fruit Loops?
Yes.
That's how that works. So my apologies on that, but I'll tell you what. You will absolutely have a great time reviewing that movie. So now he wants us to review Only the Strong. Also, James, you nailed the pronunciation of my name, Ilias. Ooh, thank you for that. And thank you for the shout out. But unfortunately, due to the outrageous laws, I will not be able to send you a sword. I think the doctor requested a sword at the time. But if you are in Australia, feel free to come over and make some sharp, stabby things with me. Hugs and shit. Sincerely, Darren Ilias.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So, Darren, apology accepted.
It's only because you're a handsome bastard. Also.
With stabby, sharp things.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm going to start using that, by the way. Hugs and shits.
That's, yeah, okay, go for it. I'm just going to start saying stay fresh, cheese bags. We'll have to come up with new catchphrases.
Yeah, for the show.
Yeah, that's right. So we
I'm not allowed to do my puns anymore, I guess I'm going to have to
It's not allowed. Well, again, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Because there's an email that came in your defense.
In my defense?
In your defense.
Oh,
yeah.
One email.
One guy.
Out singular. Of all the emails we've ever had. Yeah,
what is this mailbag number what now?
18.
Okay, so
and nobody complained about them, though, either.
We average probably, you know, 5
we had one person was like.
That's about 2%.
But right now, that means I'm running a 50-50.
That's right. All right, so we have here's a message from somebody named Miss Bear. Oh. Says, hi, I have a suggestion for a movie. It's 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it bombed at the box office. It's 102 Dalmatians.
Oh, we were just talking about this.
Yeah.
Were we?
Doing some cartoon. Well,
we were.
Yeah.
Me and the mayor.
She sounds.
We were cheating on you, James.
Wait.
You handsome what? Bastard.
Okay, it's fine now.
This. This emailer sounds very nice. She does. Nice.
She sounds like a great person. 102 Dalmatians is a live-action sequel to 101 Dalmatians. I never saw any of the live-action. Do you ever see any of the live-action Dalmatian movies?
No, it's a spot-on replication.
Is it really?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
You just violated your probation.
It went right over my head. I didn't even realize spot on.
No, it was an accident. I was
anymore.
Guys, I didn't mean it that way. I honestly didn't.
We don't know what to believe anymore.
Right.
Because you've been doing this for so long.
So long.
It's like I'm not mad. I'm just very disappointed.
It's been like 35 years of this.
That's right. Okay.
Just violated probation with the mayor in the room, even. The one that can grant you the pardon.
I know, but you're a handsome bastard.
All right.
It says, thank you for your podcast and entertain people. Miss Bear, thank you for writing
in.
Yes, thank you very much. You're awesome. All right. You know what? I'm just, you know, let's get to it. No, let's wait. We'll wait for the Kurt email. Keep my mouth.
Got me on the edge of my seat over here.
That's a teaser, people.
Michael Harding wrote in. Michael says, dear awesome guys at BMR and Bob.
It's a thing. It's going to be a thing.
Greetings from Burlington, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, all right.
So, hey, there you go. My brother and I discovered your podcast around Christmas time and have worked our way through every episode since.
Wow.
So mainline 90 episodes in 2 months.
Yeah.
Is that pretty good?
That's a lot.
What do they call that for listening? Is it still binge listening?
No, it's like when you do heroin, but you shoot it straight in your eyeball instead of your... Right. You know, that's how Jimi Hendrix died. I think he shot it into his eye. And
I don't think that's true.
He shot a podcast
I don't
into
know.
His eye.
I don't do research. I heard once on the internet that's why that happened. I don't know. All right. Trust podcasts. That's really what we're learning from this.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of the Tremors series, but I really hope you don't go through with reviewing all 7. Here is my breakdown on the Tremors series.
I think Stephanie feels the same way.
She's not happy she got roped into the whole series.
She's like, I don't want to watch all 7.
Tremors 1 is by far the best overall movie of the series. Yeah, we probably figured that out.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Tremors 2 is the most fun of the series to watch and my go-to if I'm feeling like throwing something on in the background. He'll throw on Tremors 2. That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tremors 3 is worth a watch every now and then if you're worn out on 1 and 2, but 4, 5, and 6 are not worth watching. Finally, Tremors 7 was pretty decent entry in the series, and it's probably on par or better than number 3. I don't know. I'm just to break from his email here for a second. Is he saying we should just go 1, 2, 3, 7?
We can't get to 7.
Yeah.
7 is like on the other side
of like...
We can do
1, 2, 3 and quit.
Here's Pooh River.
You can't just do 7. Yeah.
We're on the banks of Pooh River and on the island is where number 7 is.
Yeah, and we're trying to get to number 7
through
Pooh River.
Yeah, we either got to wade through the crap.
Dookie Island.
Dookie Island.
We either have to wade through the crap to get to Dookie Island or
my waiter's on. Let's go.
So I agree, Clint. Either we do the first 3 and stop,
right,
or we do the whole thing.
Well, I think we should do 3 and stop with everything.
Yeah.
Okay. I need you to want to do Iron Eagle 4. That's why. or Air American Ninja 4.
We're already locked in for Iron Eagle 4.
Oh, that's great. Well, just to let you know, I bought the whole series on DVD, so I am ready.
All right, well, then here's what we'll do. Seven. We've got Michael's opinion here. You watch all seven, and you tell me if Michael's is right in 4, 5, and 6.
You can just do one episode for 4, 5, and 6?
You know how the Catholic Church would make you do like so many Hail Marys when you've messed up?
Yeah.
All of your puns, you have to watch the entire Tremor series now, and that's how you can get out of it. Okay?
Yeah. Every time? Totally worth it.
How about Boyfriend School?
Yeah.
Make him watch Boyfriend
there you go.
School.
Here's some suggestions. Questions for him. So he's got their phone ready.
Cool. Oh, yeah, I don't.
That's okay. Ryan will be on it.
You need to do 2 Boyfriend Schools and 3 series of Tremors.
There you go.
And then you're back.
And then you're back.
Rabbi or priest, Father Clint has spoken.
Just do the IMDb so IMDb, we don't have to jump back and forth between that and Rotten Tomatoes. So we got Serving Sarah is his first recommendation. I probably have a list of suggestions as long as you do, but he's going to keep it short. So Serving Sarah is the first one.
With Matthew Perry.
Yeah, and apparently Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell, Elizabeth Hurley, Vincent Pastore,
Liz Hurley.
Cedric the Entertainer,
nice.
Amy Adams, Terry Crews, Jerry Stiller.
What's the synopsis?
A process server tries to serve an elusive female target.
Okay, so somebody's serving a subpoena or some kind of paperwork
something,
to somebody
and
they can't do it. All right. Well, it's literally
sounds
called Serving
hilarious.
Sarah. All right, we'll add it to the list. It's definitely low enough.
We're down there,
We also got we got Doomsday from 2008, a post-apocalyptic movie in which
we
half the world
do those.
Has gone full Road Warrior while the other half has reverted to medieval times.
That's a 5.9.
So does that mean we get like people in like knight's armor with jousting, with like lances riding?
I would think so. Like
riding
Mad Max cars?
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be awesome.
So. That would be cool.
Actually,
pencil me down.
Well, there's one there. It's like a helicopter, but then they're sword fighting.
What's the rating?
5.9.
5.9. All right. It fits.
It looks like it'd be the sword fight. Looks like it'd be a Bob movie.
All right.
Oh, there you go. They're like having a fire there.
He's probably seen it.
He probably has.
He's got a couple more here, but I'm just going to shout out one more in interest of time. We got Eye of the Tiger from 1986, not the movie with Stallone, because Eye of the Tiger originally.
Do you want
think
me
of
look
Rocky
that one
III?
Up?
Yeah, is look it up from 1986. It says a surprisingly good yet stereotypical 80s vigilante movie.
Ooh.
Starring a pre-motorcycle accident Gary Busey and a perennial 80s bad guy.
Is that what happened to that guy?
Yeah, he got a bad motorcycle crash.
Yeah, 5.6, returning home from prison, a Vietnam War veteran sets out to clean up his hometown, which has come under the control of a violent motorcycle gang.
All day. Guy against a violent motorcycle gang, got to clean up the town?
That's what I'm talking
about. Sign me up, brother.
Can't be any worse than Desert Heat.
Okay.
Talking about? Desert Heat was phenomenal. That was the best movie we reviewed that day.
Out
of all the ones that day,
Van Damme was like, I want to make a great martial arts movie, but this time I'm going to wear a cowboy hat.
I think.
It's going to be set in the West.
That's all. It's the whole script. That's all I've got.
Southern accent.
I want to talk about that one just a little since it came up. Miyagi was legitimately, I guarantee you, he had a bet with somebody. He's like, wait, I bet you I get this line in here. Like, no joke. That had to be something in that movie.
So?
Who can get the most ridiculous line past the editing?
Maybe.
No other.
Well,
I think
Van Damme wrote it.
I think they were bored, maybe. He's like, I don't know.
What do you got, Mr. Miyagi?
I don't remember what the script said.
I got this.
So I'm just going to say what the first thing came to my mind.
Do you imagine that? He walks onto set. It's like, there's Van Damme. He's like, oh my God. He is glorious.
He says, thanks for making the work days go by a little easier. It's easier to keep up. Thanks for making the work days go by a little easier. Keep up the good work. P.S. Kurt, never stop the puns. Now, hold on just a damn minute here, Mike.
Okay. There we go.
Hold on.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Do
I need to revoke someone's emailing privileges?
Never stop.
Never stop.
Never stop. Never stop.
Keep it going. Never stop stopping.
That's what I would say. All right, Mike Harding, thank you for reaching out, buddy. We appreciate you.
Sort of. Right up to the end.
Right up. Yeah,
right there with you.
That's why you think twice before you hit that send button.
That's right.
I think his cat ran across the keyboard there at the end.
And spelled it all out perfectly.
We might have a bit of a scandal here because, you know, the mayor is kind of the one with the rallying cry behind this pun jail and everything.
Yeah.
And he is the authority figure.
Sure.
But we have an email here from a Becca Mueller.
Oh.
So it looks like a house divided against itself cannot stand. It says, free
Who's
Kurt.
Who's that?
Your wife.
Yes. Who is that?
It says free Kurt, 3 exclamation points. Kurt deserves a trial.
We put him on trial. Yes. Guilty.
I nominate
I'm like
Kenan.
I'm sitting with Judge Dredd over here.
He called guilty.
I am the law.
He's like, yes, absolutely. I did all the puns.
I am the law.
The evidence has been falsified. You can't. I'm the law.
Sherman Shannon Jr. Armor piercing.
Becca says, I nominate Kenan Mueller to be Kurt's attorney. Kenan believes in free speech and the right to puns. You may know Kenan's dad as the infamous mayor. She calls it out right in the email. Again, ends so it with, again, free Kurt.
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Victory!
Gonna be death.
Ryan's over here. His wife and his son want a champion Kurt being released from pun jail. He's over here going, death first.
Well, thank you, Mueller family. I appreciate that.
2/3 of the Mueller family for Kurt.
A house divided.
Here's where I am on these puns, because I'm people are upset.
You've said, though, that sometimes they're great.
They are great. It's not puns are just terrible. Don't ever do them.
So if I do great ones all the time, then we're fine.
It's a volume thing.
I see.
It's the pun montage.
It's the pun montage.
The pun montage. Yeah, coming in with like 3 pages of puns.
Like, right. I did nothing.
It was
last
all on
night.
One page.
Right, but you had it in blue and in red, and you would wear your 3D glasses and close one eye to see the other sheet.
And then you're giving them to Joe to check off for you.
Let's stop the whole episode. Go back 2 scenes because I missed a pun. That kind of stuff.
Oh, wait a minute. That's had a pun
because nobody else goes backwards but me.
Goes backwards to make a point that could lead to a conversation. You just go back to say a pun, and then we go, okay. And then you go, and then like, there's nothing to say about it. We just have to then get back and start the wheels of the train going all over again. They're great. In all seriousness, all joking aside, we give Martha. They're great. It's just for me personally, it's a volume thing. That's all it is. Because you're one of the funniest people that I know.
Sure.
And you bring a lot to the table. So my fear is,
let's
I know you had said to
James.
Me, what's up?
Let's leave the looks out of this.
You've said this to me. It's the only thing that I have that I do that's good. And I think that's the biggest lie.
That's ridiculous.
Because you're hilarious. And so my fear is you put so much time into prepping puns that you don't have anything else, when if you just kind of were just your natural self, it'd be a lot funnier. That's my take.
I see.
So
good.
Well,
puns.
I appreciate the backhanded compliment.
It's not a backhanded compliment. It's a front-handed.
It's a full open hand Will Smith compliment.
So
right,
like,
to
listen
the
to like, go back and listen to Small Soldiers. You were phenomenal in that episode. I don't think there was a single pun.
But I was also phenomenal in Mr. No Legs.
Yes,
and that was packed full of puns.
Was it packed full?
Yeah, I did a lot.
I think maybe there was 4 or 5.
But you
I just
them
feel
out.
Like
it wasn't
you've,
all just a, you, ex- a 5 minute pun pun pun.
I think
pun,
you've taking it from something that you did as like some seasoning
sprinkling
to put on your performance
in.
To
I
like
gotcha.
This is my performance,
I
and
see.
I don't know if that's the right.
And I'm just serving roasted garlic.
Get back to salt baying it, man. Right. Just salt bay it. Just little just
sprinkle it
little
in.
Sprinkle
there.
In little
Pow!
Salt bay.
A little blast from your spice weasel. And knock it up a notch.
If you don't want to do that, my kid's a pretty good lawyer. He's pretty good at arguing. Right. So,
but you're still suspended for like the next 4 episodes.
Right.
So,
all right.
He also gives fantastic hugs.
It's true.
He does. He's the best hugger.
It's true. Hugs and
He is the plumber, so he takes care of that part too.
That's true.
Maurice Winters writes in and says, hey guys, I love the show. It's really funny and well produced. That's rare these days. I know the How Did This Get Made crew personally, and there's a lot of poorly produced podcasts out there trying to imitate their style, but not you guys.
Oh, nice.
Now, let me just pause right there.
I don't think we're trying to imitate their style. They're doing
a
similar thing.
I don't take any offense. Yeah. In fact, I'm thrilled
awesome.
With that because
I love being.
How Did This Get Made is the reason I wanted to do a podcast.
Right. Yep.
Like, I 2-3 years ago, I was having to take on like a third job. Things were tight. And I was doing this terrible I was delivering newspapers like I was 12 years old again, but like at 2:00 in the morning.
Sure.
From like 2 to 5. It was like a miserable job for next to nothing in payment. And I found this podcast. I was not a podcast listener even.
You could have worked for me at the shop for next to nothing.
You wouldn't even have the shop yet at that point. We're talking years ago. And like 3-4 years ago. And so the thing that got me through, I mean, it's dead. The town is like, there's nobody out there. It's right. Like me in the darkness, walking and sometimes driving, and it's raining, it's cold, it's whatever. And like, I started listening, I went through the whole catalog almost of How Did This Get Made? And I'm like, this is, and what they do, if you guys haven't listened to them yet, go listen to them. I don't mind pimping out another podcast. They're a bunch of famous, famous-y people.
Yeah.
And they do an awesome job talking about bad movies. How did this movie get made is the point of their whole show. They do a very specific style. I never wanted to copy them. Just because they were inspiring doesn't mean I'm like, oh, let's just do what they do. Right, so I appreciate this guy said what he said, that we're not trying to imitate them, but we're paying homage.
How often do we get compared to MST3K?
All the time.
And it's almost like people try to slam us with that. Like,
like, oh, hey, like, tell us that we're like our heroes. That's terrible.
Tell me I'm like a steak dinner.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm like a T-bone instead of a filet dinner. Okay.
You're like Wish.com Superman. That's still pretty freaking good.
Right.
Yeah, we like Superman.
I can still freaking fly, right? All right.
We did get this message, it was yesterday or the day before, that said, so you're basically doing a discount version of Riff Tracks or Mystery Science Theater. And I'm just, you're right. I'm like, I love that people think it's a slam to compare us to like our favorite things. Late nights back in the day.
You guys are awful. You're like cherry pie.
Seriously.
Yeah. Trolls
need to up their game, man. They're just.
I don't know if this was ever your experience, but like late nights, early 90s, Comedy Central watching MST3K. Fell asleep on the couch or whatever. My gosh. I don't know if I ever finished a movie of Mystery Science Theater 3000 because it was on so late, I'd always end up falling asleep.
Yeah. Well, I'd watch it then, and then they'd run the marathons during the day. Yeah. I'd sit all day watching them.
It was awesome.
Hilarious.
I would pee my pants sometimes.
Dude.
Just over it because it was so funny.
Right.
Because it was overnight.
Whether it was Mike or Joel, doesn't matter. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Are you ready to look up a movie? He does come in. So yes, thank you, first of all, Maurice, for the props.
And crazy old Maurice.
Yeah, he does say, I love the intro, the energy, and the clever award, so I'm recommending the show to a lot of people. Keep up the good work. So thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And he knows them personally, so
they're awesome.
Yes, tell them we want nothing from them, only for you to tell them they are freaking awesome. All right, so he goes, I got two recommendations. Ticket to Hawaii.
Hard Ticket.
Did you hear that one?
No.
Never heard of that one.
This is arguably the best bad movie ever made.
Oh, there we go.
Arguably.
To Hawaii.
That's the whole point.
Generic, full of stereotypes, and it's incredibly fun, and it's filled with topless blondes. We'll get Bob on that episode.
Bob's already in on that.
He said there's somebody so bad they might be worse than Dudikoff. Bad dialogue, catchy theme song, insane use of rocket launchers, and a giant snake. Oh, and there's a random scene about vitamins. Sounds great, huh? What's the synopsis?
It looks like there's a nice redheadish.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, it's not just blondes.
Blondes.
Fair enough.
All right.
fair enough.
Rating 5.50.
Okay.
It's synopsis. In Hawaii, an undercover DEA agent and her civilian friends stumble upon a drug trafficking operation and have to enlist the help of all their colleagues and friends to go after the vicious drug kingpin.
So Iron Eagle 3.
Pretty much, yeah. Only in Hawaii.
Fair enough.
Unnamed sovereign Middle Eastern nation.
Yeah.
This is actually in Hawaii.
Where the bad guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark is.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. That's it.
But there's airplanes in it too, it looks like. So
awesome.
Yeah.
It's not good when a DEA agent stumbles onto a drug ring. They were intentionally looking. Here's a kingpin over here.
It makes me think of somebody just like leaning against a door and it falls in and there's all these people packing Coke in bags. So not to alarm everybody, but I'm a DEA agent.
What?
I'm going to go get my friends.
Yeah, I'm going to get my friends.
Hold on, stay right there.
Stay here.
Take your top off.
That's part of the investigation. Okay, I got to check. Not trying to be weird.
Good Lord.
Let me see.
Gotta see if that's Kleenex or cocaine.
Bags of cocaine you got here.
Feels like bags of sand.
He also suggests this movie, the other movie he suggests is already on the list, is Eraser. Oh. It's an Arnold movie.
Oh, yeah.
So
some people hate that movie, but I like it. Arnold versus James Caan.
Oh.
Get futuristic guns. Remember that he's got the X-ray gun in the scope? You can see through people's walls and stuff. It's great. Arnold will always be my governor. Suck it, Newsom. Yeah, Gavin Newsom.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Yeah.
I know nothing about him because I don't live in California, but I'm just going to go with what Maurice says here.
Hey, Maurice knows what he's talking about.
All right. Thanks, Maurice. Appreciate you, brother.
Woo. Nice.
All right. This next message comes from Daryl Pinter, the good-looking brother.
Yeah.
That's right, Mike Pinter.
That's right.
He says, I've taken the weekend to calm down after listening to the podcast. I should say that it's titled The Last Starfighter and The Last Straw.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
You always say that if you have something bad to say, to email and not post it here, so here it is.
All right.
While I love the humor and commentary you give with every movie, I cannot stand here and listen to you say that it's not a good movie. You know I've been a longtime fan of the show, but this is too much. To say that this is a bad movie that rules only a week after prior you said the same thing about Hands of Steel is an outrage. I will not even get to the opinion of some that said it was a bad movie. Ryan Matala.
Yeah, that's Matala all the way.
He said it was a bad movie.
Yeah,
he said it was a bad movie.
It's not completely unanimous across bad movies rule here because I wasn't put on that episode. No. And I can tell you, I love that movie.
So do I.
So that's a fantastic
here's a little secret.
Bad movie.
I loved it.
It's one of the best bad movies that exist. You can't say it's a good movie. It may be wonderfully entertaining and you may love it, but there are definitely things on there that keep it's, that a bad
yes,
movie.
Yes, in so many ways, it's a relic.
Right?
Yeah. In so many ways.
But can I share a little something with
you? Yes, please.
So, somewhat related?
Yeah, of course.
Mr. Mike Pinter borrowed me that movie.
Oh, okay.
And so the best part is I didn't think I saw it, and then I watched it, and I went, I remember this movie.
Yeah, see?
And I loved it.
Yes.
And I was like, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it, even though it's cheesy, but it was good.
Yeah, I loved the movie.
I felt like it was right up there with, like, Star Wars or Buck Rogers.
Yes,
like
sure.
That kind of cheesiness, you know
for
what I
sure.
mean?
For sure, for sure.
But I liked it.
It was so much better than anything Ernest ever did.
I'm gonna blow
the brakes right there. I love me some Ernest.
Ernest just lost. We just had a poll.
I know
on Patreon.
I voted for a movie.
Ernest
I didn't
lost
in just because he was ahead of Ernest. I wanted to be one more vote.
It was a three-way deadlock,
rubber, baby,
between Rubber,
Ernest,
Cloak and Dagger, and Ernest Goes to Camp. Those three movies were deadlocked. At like 30, like more votes than like, more votes than normally go through
here. We had three movies with 0 votes. Like people literally moved around and said, nope.
They were starting to do it.
Right.
And at the end.
Can you double vote?
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
Just one person.
You
always say this, and people are going to believe you. You have to stop. They're going to think you've got all these burner accounts out there, and you don't.
I don't.
Okay, so stop making the joke.
Absolutely do it.
Okay.
Don't force me.
Now, at the last minute, Rubber pulled ahead of the other two, which I was so upset about.
When I looked, it was ahead. When I looked, it was ahead by 2 votes, so I threw an extra one on there. So like, there's not 3 more people left to vote.
That was the insurance run.
I watched that trailer because I couldn't make it in for that one. I was like, this is even might be too stupid for me.
Did you ever watch Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here you go.
But I like that movie.
Yeah, I did
back in the day. I don't know how it holds up now.
Yeah, probably you're right. But I haven't seen it in a long time.
To finish up Daryl's email here about Last Starfighter, he's mad at us. He says, even if you were not of the age to enjoy this movie when it came out, I cannot in good conscience sit here and listen to you put this movie, this gem, into the same category as some movies that deserve to be considered a bad movie that rules. I've had enough.
Whoa.
Like the gritty cop who throws his badge and gun on the captain's desk. I'm slamming my membership card down. Can we say a movie trope? And letting you know that I'm done. Time to cancel the Patreon and go our separate ways. Daryl Pinter, the younger and much more handsome brother of Mike Pinter, is taking his ball and his money and going home.
And this is where I will say that our three tiers does not give enough separation for how different these movies can be.
Yeah.
A bad movie that rules can be so many different levels of rules or good. Right. Or
no, for sure.
Bad.
Or for different reasons.
Why is this movie considered bad? The movie's considered bad just because, you know, some of the acting wasn't on point, on key.
And the effects have not aged well.
And that is this movie.
The effects of the time and stuff like that, they're not super far.
No, but some hold up, some don't. This doesn't.
Legitimately, this movie was a bad movie, but it freaking really ruled. In my estimation, it was fantastic.
It's enjoyable.
It was better than some good movies for me, enjoyability-wise.
Sure. I agree with everything you're saying, and just because I said Hands of Steel was a bad movie that ruled, it was for a totally different reason.
Right. And a bad movie can barely rule, because I think, that one Ernest movie with a Christmas
Scared Stupid
or something about it, wasn't it?
No. It was Saves Christmas, Scared Stupid.
Yeah, no, Saves Christmas. That one was a bad movie that just friggin' sucked for me. For me. Other people, different opinions. But like the Halloween one,
bad
movie that kind of rules a little bit. I mean, it was rules, yeah. But it doesn't friggin' rule.
Right. Well, here's right. To defend my position on Hands of Steel. I want to keep it simple and keep it at three. And understanding that the middle section is very large.
Huge. Yes.
Whereas
yes.
the top section and the bottom section are smaller. Okay. Yeah. The middle one can hold a lot of different things. And Hands of Steel, I even said at the time, is a bad movie. It rules for a totally different reason. I said, this movie's terrible.
It was awful.
But I laughed so much at it that it becomes a bad movie that rules because it was so hilariously bad.
Enjoyable. Right. You can watch it with somebody and rip on it. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
But Last Starfighter is a bad movie that rules because despite its shortcomings as a film, it's awesome.
Yes.
Right.
And so they both fit into the same category, but this is why, you know, as you listen and understanding the context of what we're saying is important. They're both in that category for very, very different reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right,
makes sense to me.
That would be like a Yahtzee score, you know. right. We need Yahtzee dice for all the different positions here.
And here's the good news. He says, "Just kidding." In the PS, he's not actually taking. Daryl's not taking his ball and going home. He says, "I was sad that some did not see this movie in the same light as I do. It was a huge part of my childhood." Dude, me too. I wore that VHS out. I love what you are all doing and respect, to a point, your opinions. I wanted to save this for April 1st, but I wanted to get it out while it was fresh in my mind. Keep up the great work. We'll keep listening and getting involved with the Patreon and spreading the word, Daryl. So thanks, Daryl, for the fake out. First time I read that email, I was like, good God, he's quitting over this.
Yeah, like there's so many good reasons to quit us. This isn't it.
That's right.
He is one handsome bastard.
All right. He gets applause. Thanks, Daryl. Oh, my gosh.
This is my brother, Daryl, my other brother, Daryl.
Here we go. This is a message from Stephen McFeely. Okay.
Is he related to the guy that delivers mail?
Mr. I was going to say, is that Mr. McFeely's brother?
I hope so.
What if he's like a son, like a grandson of Mr. McFeely?
That'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. I hope he is. Maybe he says something in the email.
Maybe this email came in.
We gave him a reason to follow up.
Like a speedy delivery.
Right. Speedy delivery.
This is for BMR eyes only, it says.
Oop. I'm out.
Hello, BMR crew. Love the podcast. Been listening since episode 20 or so. And ever after having to wait a week for the next episode, I started over at episode 1, and I don't regret a thing.
Nice.
Good.
Nice.
He's running through it again. I love the progression of the show and how polished it has now become. The years of hard work have definitely paid off. Almost multiple years.
Yes.
Months.
The year-ish of hard work.
We'll say months of hard work. Yeah, we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary in May, you guys. It says, I have two suggestions for you. One you should all know, and one that maybe none of you have ever heard of. The first one, and this is the reason why I included this email in the mailbag, was just so I could talk about this movie. Have you guys ever seen Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones?
Let me see. I think so.
It's about a volcano that erupts underneath Los Angeles.
All the lava starts coming
up through like the subway and up into the streets. And
Anne Heche. Yeah, I did see this back in '97.
So ridiculous. Oh, man.
Yes, it was.
Heche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's rest in peace.
Don
it's
Cheadle.
I remember I couldn't say her name for the life of me back in the
day. Were you like Anne Heche?
No, I used to say Anne Heche. I thought she was Jewish.
Tommy Lee Jones was in it, was doing his thing in the 90s, and I went to see it in the theater because Tommy Lee Jones was in it.
Right.
He said, I recently watched with my son who is obsessed with lava, and it does not hold up. Not sure how Tommy Lee Jones how a Tommy Lee Jones movie could not stand the test of time, but this one is a semi-entertaining disaster movie with a surprising amount of well-known actors. Yeah, Don Cheadle is his second in command.
Yeah, let's see.
The emergency.
Oh, no, it's there, my phone. Yeah, and then... John Corbett. I might have seen that.
I was thinking a different Tommy Lee when you started.
Tommy Lee, that's a different one.
The drummer.
Different movie altogether.
Different volcano.
Different
kind of movie. Burn on that one.
The second movie, this one's already on the list, is a 1974 Sean Connery sci-fi film called Zardoz. I'm sure everybody at this point is familiar with the famous picture of Sean Connery in an orange diaper, that space movie you guys ever seen that?
Yes.
No. I'll send it to the group chat.
I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the picture. Yeah.
It's him, and he's got all his dang chest hair. Think of like the costume that Demolition wore in WWE.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, with the chest piece that goes around, and then the diaper, except it's all orange instead of black. Is that about right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a ponytail.
And it's actually like a meme that's gone around on the internet, too, with right. it. Yeah.
The synopsis here is... Well, first he says, I remember being dragged to a classic film night showing of this movie, Zardoz, by a friend in college that wanted to see it as a joke, and man, oh man, I will never forget what I saw that night. In the future, Earth is ruled by Eternals, an advanced and secret sect of beings who reign over a savage group called Brutals. The Eternals have created a god named Zardoz to intimidate the Brutals, making them believe that killing is their natural state. However, Zed, Sean Connery, a brutal warrior, challenges that assumption when he enters the Zardoz monument and is captured by an Eternal. What is... I'm already lost.
I've gone cross-eyed.
There, he learns the truth about the Eternals and the false god that rules society. Wow. 5.8 on IMDb. Yeah, that's already on the list.
Yeah.
That's way high.
But we never really went in-depth on that one.
It sounds really high for something. That's Air America territory, and this does not sound like it's Air America territory.
The whole thing had a $1.8 million budget, and it lost money. It couldn't make $2 million back. With Sean Connery as the lead, you couldn't make your money back.
Connery.
I mean, we saw Stallone in a diaper in Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. So.
It's true. Put it as part of the diaper series.
Yeah. The diaper series.
We already have the unholy trilogy of roller skating movies.
Yeah. That we have.
Xanadu, Roller Boys, and Solar Babies.
Yeah.
So.
So no more? No more rollerblading movies?
Yes, we
no
could.
More roller skating?
There's probably more out there.
Just keep up the great work. I look forward to catching the new episodes once I finish the older ones again. P.S. Bob sucks. All right.
All right.
I thought that was his name. I thought you were saying P.S. Bob sucks. Like,
No, this is from Stephen McFeely.
Oh, yeah, the McFeely guy. Yeah. We went over that.
Mr. McFeely's grandson.
All right, just got a couple more here, which we'll get through. The next one comes in from Rebecca. Rebecca, the cousin of Dr. Madela.
Oh.
Rebecca is one of the 2%.
That's right. One of the, our demographics is 96% men, 4% women.
Our twos of women that listen to our show that are related to somebody in the show, all of them.
Almost all of them. Says, hey guys, I'm currently listening to the mailbag episode, Bob's Bad Haircut, and as a former stylist, I'm horrified. I hear these stories all the time, and honestly, I don't know why people think they just can't say something if they don't like the haircut. You're paying for a service, and you should definitely speak up if the stylist is doing something you don't like, even if it's just talking too much, sharing way too much personal information, taking their top off. I added part. Sorry. Oh. If you're trying to be nice.
Which establishment was this?
Don't. She says, if you're trying to be nice, don't.
Topless haircut.
She's basically saying, be a jerk to these people.
Yeah.
If they like it.
She's a stylist.
Some people like that.
Right.
If you guys ever had a bad haircut, you're going to a place and they just butchered it.
Well, now I've got my personal stylist.
You just cut your own.
It's awful.
You use the suck cut. I can tell.
It's awful. I can't.
As you can see, it sucks.
I haven't been able to grow this back since it's been shaved.
It certainly is sucking.
I've got a personal stylist.
I go in and I like shave it to a 5 on the top, a 1 on the sides, and if that doesn't hold true, I'll just do it myself. The steel blade, and it's gone.
So you don't go to get your hair cut?
Occasionally. I just don't care.
What do you do for your head?
My hair keeps... I like it. But if the hair keeps growing on top of my head, it's doing it good enough. I don't care what it does after that. It's still up there. We're good. Sorry, Kurt.
You had gotten to a point maybe a year ago. We were doing the show at the time where I think it was still over at the Loop.
I let it get longer.
And your hair came in. You came in, and it was huge.
Yeah, it does that.
It looked like Lego hair you could just take out of, and you know what I mean?
Helmet hair?
Helmet hair was awesome.
Like, my Darth helmet didn't fit because I had too much hair. Right.
But it doesn't grow longer down towards your shoulders. It just grows up. Out.
He's like a chia pet.
And it's not like it's curly like a fro or anything. It's just like straight goes out and then it kind of limps over on itself at the top.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Do it again, please. For the people.
For the people.
So that we can get another headshot and replace the one we have. I don't know. It's February.
It's February?
Yeah.
That'll be about a whole year.
All right.
All right.
Can't wait till next February.
Not cutting it for a year.
We'll go to New Year's.
All right.
It's
going
to
be hot.
I had someone to be super rude to me, and I just figured they were having a bad day and didn't want to chit chat. I actually hate small talk, which is why I'm not a stylist anymore. So I was fine with no talking, but I don't really take things personally, so I don't know. In defense of the Walmart stylist, I don't know if I would just go get clippers from Walmart. I'm sure the clippers there are fine, but if you're doing, 10 haircuts a day, you need something better than what's at Walmart. Although I guess she could have just sucked it up and gotten a pair to finish Bob's haircut. Maybe it didn't even cross her mind. I love it. We're in the weeds on Bob's haircut still.
And I'll throw in here, because I used to work for a company that made clippers. Those clippers in Walmart,
yeah,
we put them on them shelves. Those are pretty good clippers.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
They'd have been good.
In defense of the Walmart. Yeah, that's going to be the title for this. Mailbag 18, in defense of Walmart's clippers.
Right.
I will say that's where I go before I got my official head shaver kit.
Yeah.
You went to Walmart? I did just Walmart and bought clippers.
I had a regular pair of Walmart
clippers forever. About every 5-6 years, I'd replace them.
Now I have a Conair set that has like all those different angled.
Oh, yeah.
Those don't work.
You're fancy.
I mean, the clippers work great, but the side angle thing.
Kurt, you'll like this. It says, on a different note, I bought my dad Mr. No Legs, Megaforce, and Gymkhana for Christmas, and we watched them all in one night.
Is that a bundle? Like, are they offering that on Amazon
great.
Now
that
as a
would
bundle?
That
for
Christmas.
That's
a lot of money.
Movies rule bundle.
That's a lot of money right. If you put down.
Yeah. We agreed Mr. No Legs was the worst of the three.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we really liked Megaforce and Gymkhana, so good for them. That's awesome.
Gymkhana was freaking awesome.
Gymkhana was hilarious.
Pummel horse. Here we go.
Yeah,
How did you not see that coming to screw you over when you decorated your town?
Right. Let's put this pommel horse in the middle of town.
We're
going to have some gymnast karate guy coming through here.
The town planner, the contractor's like, all right, man, it's done. It's in there. I don't know what you wanted that for. Just make sure you don't ever invite any damn gymnasts in here.
Well, they invented they're like, hey, this is the one kind of martial arts that's never been seen before, so we don't have to defend against it.
Right.
Let's just celebrate the fact that it doesn't exist by putting gymnastics.
Maybe they didn't understand
town.
What kind of horse they wanted in the middle of the town.
Oh, they just wanted like a rocking horse.
Get out. Get out.
That's not a pun. That's a horse. Like, what if they wanted like an actual physical like animal horse?
They wanted a horse statue.
And then somebody came in and was like,
it was just a big old pile of freaking heroin.
I didn't realize what. Oh, they gave us a pummel horse. Wrong one. My bad.
We watched one to two bad movies. And we watch one to two bad movies that you guys have done on Friday nights, and we're slowly making our way through the list. Keep up the good work, Rebecca K.
If you keep going at one to two, you're going to catch up and outpace us.
Yeah,
so you might want to stick with one.
Eventually. But she's trying to catch up, and then she'll go.
I enjoy the people that are like actually watching the movies, and then listening to us. I think that's
awesome. There's a couple people that have told me they have regular date nights with their wives and
girlfriends, or
whoever, and watch the movie in preparation for the episode every week.
That's what I was gonna say. Do they watch in preparation for the episode, or do they listen to the episode and then go watch the movie?
It's happened both ways. It's been happening both ways. Yeah, for sure. All right, last one. This one's long. I'm going to do some editing, but it comes in from It's Ranger Hicks. Sorry.
Oh,
Ranger Hicks. Says, hello, James and the rest of you D-gens. My name is Hicks, and while I don't know how Spotify's metrics work, have you ever looked at them and wondered, what psychopath listens to us for 8 hours straight on the weekdays? That psychopath is me. And I have been binge listening to your podcast at work for the last month or so and just recently got caught up, and now I have a lot of things to write. James, if you desire to skip over subjects, I understand, and if this email is too long to be read, I accept that too. There could easily be more concise emails. But I think some of this is worth bringing out. Allow me to first explain how I got here. Now, not long ago, I felt a sudden need to watch the movie Prayer of the Roller Boys after not having seen it since I was 8 years old.
And you watched that when you were eight?
Yeah, he went back into his third grade teacher. He's like, day of the rope.
goes into lunch lady, day of the rope.
While watching, I was growing very concerned because I thought there was story beats missing. I actually asked myself these questions a few times, like, wasn't there a deaf kid in this? And doesn't Milty get killed by cyborg teachers? And the Roller Boys were white supremacists? The fact that the movie didn't match up to what I remembered made me seek a podcast that had watched it. I needed to know if what I saw was real or if I was going crazy, and I found you guys because your show came up first when I searched Prayer of the Roller Boys on Spotify.
That's right.
Let's go.
All right.
You are welcome.
We win. We did a thing and we won.
That's right.
It sounds like he was confusing or mixing Roller Boys and Solar Babies there.
Deaf kid and cyborg. I don't know what the cyborg teacher is.
I don't know what that is either, but...
He says, in the end, I accepted that my 8-year-old brain made the mistake of combining this movie with the movie Solar Babies, which you have hilariously covered.
Nice.
And
well done. The well movie, done, well Mayor. Done.
There you go.
You read that over his shoulder, didn't you?
No, and the movie Class of 99. That's the other one we hadn't heard of yet. I would recommend it, but I'm certain it's on the list. I don't know if Class of 99 is on the list.
Let's look.
So while you look that up, I'm going to keep going. I wouldn't know because although I have subscribed to your newsletter, I haven't gotten anything. I have since sent him the list, so I don't know why you didn't get it the first time.
Maybe he did it the first week.
But I will say this, guys. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter yet, you get a copy of our list, which changes weekly. And so every month we're going to send out a new version of the list. All of our, I think we're over 600 movies at this point.
Wow. It's crazy. Class of 1999.
Yeah, hit me with it.
5.9 IMDb.
We can fix that.
Stacy Keachin, Pam Grier are in it. Three ex-military robots are reprogrammed as teachers and secretly placed in a school where most students are part of organized gangs. They begin to respond violently to unruly students, and their military training starts to take over.
Nice.
Now,
that sounds
Rise of the Machine.
Rise of the Machine.
Let's do it.
Yeah, do it. Sounds fantastic.
He did include some other suggestions, which I've already gone through and added to the list. So no worries there, but I'm just going to skip to the rest of what he has to say here. He says, let me end this with a couple things. Clint Bush.
Oh, Jesus. This never ends well.
It's yeah, you're not going to be happy about this.
I bet you'll be fine. Yeah, you're not going to be happy about this.
You must purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka for besmirching the name of Jack Burton. Let's go. Hey. Oh. Let's go, Mr. Hicks. That's right. In your face. Don't you ever talk crap like about Jack Burton. Like, we even got our own Jack Chop Burton
Express.
Here now.
All he's got to do is just finish eating and then tell his story, and I'll be fine.
Man knows how to eat a sandwich.
Okay,
I can't believe that's the reason. I still can't believe that's
Mr.
the
Burton.
He says, also, Bob, you bastard.
Beautiful bastard, though.
Beautiful
How
bastard.
How dare you take my mom out to a fancy seafood dinner and then never call her back? That's weird because he came in here the other day and he was like all kind of beaming and buzzing. I was like, what's up, man? He's like, dude, I took this guy's mom to dinner at Red Lobster.
He had a nice, I was like, that's, nice shrimp dinner.
Did you going to call her back? He's like, no, I threw that I threw her number away. That's the joke. It's a prank.
Yeah.
Give him some shrimp and then you ghost him.
Dip him.
Yeah.
Not the shrimp.
Don't tell your wife either.
I don't want that to be confused.
That's right.
With a pun.
He says, I have no choice now but to soothe her sorrow by telling her you buzzed your hair off. So he's taking solace in your bad haircut, Bob. Right. And finally,
back to the bad haircuts.
And finally, to all the other psychotic listeners out there, I really want to emphasize that you should interact and comment with BMR on YouTube and Twitter. I do it all the time. And honestly, James, I assume it's James manning the accounts. If it was Bob, he would just tell me to huff a dong.
He's not that eloquent, actually.
It'd be along that line.
I'm stealing that one, too. Just why don't you go huff a dong? That needs to be the reply from now on. If somebody's like, hey, so what? You guys are like, I'm a C3K?
Yeah.
Why don't you go huff a dong?
Huff a dong,
huff
man.
Huff a dong.
It is me manning those accounts, so your suspicions are correct. James is super responsive and approachable. One day you guys will be super popular, and you'll likely not reply to every single comment, and that'll be sad, but it'll be deserved. You guys are great. No horse shit. Thanks for making my job of processing paperwork for the Department of Motor Vehicles entertaining. With regards, Ranger Hicks.
Hey, Ranger Hicks, I have a title with some issues. If you can get back to us, anyway, we take care of this.
You're probably going to have to grovel and apologize for your Jack Burton.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I will completely go through the movie again and rescind my previous comments.
There you go.
Dude, yeah, you're going to have to do
that. I got a 1981 Puma GT that really needs some paperwork cleaned up, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
The old Puma GT.
I also want to throw a couple of our hate comments in here because it's always funny.
Oh, those are the best.
Yes.
Yeah, and this one guy, Donnie, says, you guys are morons.
Oh.
True.
LOL, okay. I would get better attention from the hecklers on The Muppet Show. LOL, shut the up.
Wow. All
right.
Yeah.
I mean, Statler and Waldorf are definitely two of my idols.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that's where my love of puns started.
Was those? Oh, those two. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But who's really the sucker in all of this? You know, we're just putting stuff out there to entertain ourselves and our listeners, right. And this guy listened to it.
That's right.
Right, exactly.
It's fine.
All right, right. We got to that guy. He's not one of our future listeners, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But it is your choice to not continue to listen.
No, or and that's, be awesome. That's basically what I said to the next guy, Bill. So Bill was upset that we were ripping on how over the top the old people's reaction was when Alex was winning that video game in Last Starfighter.
Oh, yeah, because that was normal.
Like, they're all like, a lot of people commented, it's a remote trailer park, they've got nothing else to do, and while I agree to that, maybe they would be there watching and excited, but these people were hugging and high-fiving and crying like they just won the Super
Bowl.
They
all thought they were going to Disneyland.
Okay, like it was a little over the top. Anyway, Bill got really upset. He said, you completely missed the point. They cared about Alex, not what he was doing. He works hard for all those people every day, toilets and fuses alone. So I responded to him. I said, we didn't miss the point. We're making jokes. It's what we do. We kind of go into full context if you listen to the episode about how much we
maybe not watch the clip and watch the whole show.
Maybe say, okay, what's the context around this instead of being intellectually lazy internet guy.
This is his response was great, though. He says, maybe seems to me you are mocking one of the best films in cinema history.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow. This guy has a very, very narrow window of movies he's ever watched, ever.
Yeah, this is the guy that he's bring him this a...
and the Ernest catalog.
You bring him a charcoal brick of a steak, and he thinks it's the best steak he ever ate.
Right. That's right.
Can I get that ultra well done?
Honestly.
Has he seen it?
I want the Kingsford.
And this made me post this thread to Twitter because I had a lot of people, but this really was the one that kind of got me, was this guy's comment. And so the fact that he thinks this is the greatest movie of cinema history made me want to make this point, is that your favorite movie sucks, okay? All whoever right. you are out there. Like, to somebody out there, art is subjective, right?
Sure.
Right.
And so I guarantee you that in every single movie we've covered, even the worst of the worst, we've had messages telling us, this is my favorite movie of all time. Yeah. Right? Garbage Pail Kids, Boyfriend School, doesn't matter.
Iron Eagle 3.
That means that if people message us and say, this isn't a bad movie, there are people that get this. They believe the opposite of that.
What?
And so every crappy movie is someone's favorite movie. And every one of your favorite movies, someone thinks sucks.
Someone hates. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There are people that cannot stand and hate Star Wars.
Right.
100% right. Across the board, can't stand them, hate them.
So back to what Bill said, because he thinks this is the greatest movie in cinema history, he's offended.
Right.
And he says, the exact scene has saved my life more than once. That scene has saved his life.
Which scene?
The scene of him being celebrated in the winning the video game in Alex.
Oh.
The trailer park.
That's unfortunate. I guess. Could you imagine how bad your life would be?
That's what I was thinking.
And I'm not trying to be mean, dude, but then he ends it with, write better jokes.
We don't write jokes.
We don't write anything.
That's the other thing, dude.
Except for Kurt.
Yeah. Well, I don't write jokes. I write puns.
He writes puns.
I've said that before
on the show. Jokes are funny.
Jokes are funny. This is when I basically just said to him, I said, Bill, this may not be the show for you.
Right.
We might want to move on.
We roast movies.
Yes.
It's what we do.
We realize
it's not for everybody.
We feel bad about ourselves, so we make fun of other people's art.
We've made bad movies. We have made movies
that are about to be roasted on this show
that definitely were low budget, that definitely had all kinds of tropes, and all of the things that we make fun of, we feel that because we have, I mean, I'm not saying we've done things on a level to which not even the worst movies we've covered have been bigger budgets, more professional, all those things.
Right.
So I'm not trying to put myself on that level. But I'm just saying, as filmmakers, we've at least know what it's like to go through the slog of trying to make a movie, which is incredibly hard at any budget, especially when you're working with people that aren't being paid. And so we are doing this with an understanding of how hard it is to make movies that work. We know it's not for everybody, so if you don't listen, Bill, it's okay.
Every single one of these movies is a winner because it got finished.
That's honestly.
Right, straight up.
Right.
Well, and even you say roast, but I also like to say we commend.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Some of these movies.
Our favorite movies still get joked and tore up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, even the ones we love, we roast.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in the sense of like, we roast them because we love them.
Oh, sure.
It isn't like, some of us, but we watch these because it's fun to watch them.
Yes.
And there are some that we sit through and we're like, oof, that was rough.
Wow. James is really mad at me.
But there's
never.
There's a lot of them that are great.
All right. Just I think because of what our name is, it's never going to stop. People right, just right. see bad movie in our title
God,
and
that's
they
not
go,
bad.
Yeah. And that's just going right. to happen until the end of time or whenever we end doing this show, which hopefully will be not for a long, long time. But that's not important right now. What's important is you guys have stuck with us all the way to the end of this mailbag episode. It means you guys are the diehards. You guys are listening to the show. I don't feel like I say this enough. Thank you. You guys are phenomenal. We would not be here without you. Thank you for taking the time to listen, to comment, to email, to share, to tell people. We're growing, and that's only because of you guys. We wouldn't be growing just on our own of just sitting here spouting dumb opinions into microphones. We're growing because of you guys.
Well, and we make them a part of the show. I mean, whether it's they get to vote, they interact with us.
Yeah.
They get to make comments. They get to send us emails. They get to vote on what movies are coming up next.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are sending in music.
They get
to
take my seat for the next Ernest movie.
Listener.
I mean, a listener just was on the show,
wasn't
he? That's
true. Yeah. Listener engagement and participation is one of the pillars of BMR. That's the way we wanted it to be from the beginning. We always want to keep involving you guys in what we're doing, so that'll never stop. Thank you guys for listening. We got to end this mailbag so we can get on to all our other things, but we are going to be back again with another one. Don't worry. Keep sending it in. If you haven't yet, send in an email to thisshowistrash@gmail.com, and we will read your emails here on the show. And if we don't get to them on the show, we will respond to them. So make sure you keep sending them our way. On behalf of the mayor, Ryan Mueller, the machine plumber.
machine punter.
Punter, that's right.
Mummer.
I like the machine plumber, too. Yeah. The machine punter, plumber, mummer. And the dirt farmer, Clint Bush. Thank you guys for listening.